Sports voice of the new Philadelphia, 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station. From the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Philadelphia's football station.
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What is happening in a very good Saturday morning to you, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here. 75. The Fanatic, the D-Train producing this morning's program as we take you up until this week in pro football at 10 o'clock. And the day has finally arrived. It's taken long enough. We waited forever for this. The return of Carson Wentz. What's he going to look like? What does it mean for the Eagles offense? Does he solve all of their issues? What about the wide receivers? How does that work? Bringing in Jordan Matthews, is that going to be something that the Eagles are going to be, by and large, happy with? Is it just a Band-Aid? Obviously, all the answers will come when Alshon Jeffrey returns and once the Eagles overall get a little bit healthier on offense. But will it be enough here, now, today, to take on the Indianapolis Colts? It's a game that is going to be very familiar for a lot of people, right? You're looking at matchups of young quarterbacks, even though Andrew Luck doesn't really seem that young anymore. He's been around the league for a long time. However, he's been out of the game for a while with an injury. Does that sound like anybody we know? Carson Wentz himself is excited for his return as the Eagles will be hosting another familiar face, Frank Reich, and the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Colts are a little bit banged up. Anthony Costanzo, one of their offensive linemen, tackle, will be out. Hassan Ridgeway also out. Quincy Wilson out. A couple other players in the secondary are questionable for the Eagles. Alshon Jeffrey officially listed as questionable, not expected to play. If that changes, obviously we'll keep you updated. Jason Peters questionable. Kamu Grugier-Hill also questionable. Sproles has been ruled out. Jay Ajayi has been ruled out. And Corey Clement also questionable. So plenty of injuries on both sides already. The Eagles are a team that's already had success, though, with dealing with injuries over the course of an entire season. They've been a team that lost a starting left tackle, a starting middle linebacker, a starting quarterback, a special teams ace, and one of the most dynamic playmakers that their offense has to offer. Other than that, they've been fine. They've been totally healthy. Other than that, going through everything that they did on the way to the Super Bowl. That's all history, though. However, you wonder if they'll be able to build on that and to ultimately be able to draw on that experience as they take on the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts, meanwhile, are a team that's kind of trying to find their way still. They're a team that it's tough to get a read on who exactly they are. And it sounds weird because every team you would think is that way just a couple games into the season. However, you saw them beat Washington 21-9 this past weekend and lost to the Bengals, who initially, for a lot of people, that might have looked like a bad loss. But Cincinnati has looked like one of the top teams in the NFL early on. Now, there's a lot of time between now and the end of the season. However, Cincinnati has looked good. Weirdly, that was a rematch of the final preseason game. I don't know how the NFL allows that to happen, but that's the case. And what's more, you're looking at a team in Indianapolis that is trying to draw on what the Eagles did. And it's not just because Frank Reich is the head coach. A lot of teams are going to be looking into what the Eagles did to win the Super Bowl. However, with Frank Reich being the head man of Indianapolis, there's a little bit extra. There might be a little bit of an inside track in terms of trying to emulate what the Eagles have done and everything else. You can't just copy the talent, right? You can't just create 3D print Carson Wentz and Jason Peters and Alshon Jeffrey and Lane Johnson and all the guys that were tremendous along the way, especially offensively for the Eagles. And we haven't even talked about the defense, which I anticipate having a monster game today. That's been the buzz all week long, has been how the Eagles gave up 150 yards and two touchdowns on two plays, and what happened to this really good Eagles defense? What happened to this team that was supposed to be stifling to play against? Well, the truth of the matter is that everybody has a bad game every once in a while. We just forgot that the Eagles defense does have the ability to have a bad game, because they haven't in a very long time. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not like in the Super Bowl they were world beaters against Tom Brady, but they still were able to make the play at the very end when you needed Brandon Graham getting the strip sack and Derek Barnett coming away with the recovery, sealing the Super Bowl for the Eagles. That's the last time that I really think of that the Eagles defense played a subpar game before the Tampa Bay game last week. It does seem like it's a little bit of a perfect storm, though. I think that there's going to be an element where you see the Eagles' offense eager to get back into it, because you obviously have Carson Wentz returning and you have him bolstering the entire offense. I happen to subscribe to the theory that as soon as you get Carson Wentz back, that everybody on the offense starts to play better, from the line, from the wide receivers and the running backs and everything else. Not saying that he's a complete cure-all. What I will say is that he adds an element in his mobility, in his diagnostic abilities, in his penchant for throwing the football down the field, to kind of open things up a lot more for the Eagles offense, and to kind of change the way that the complexion of the offense is made up. What do you see from this game? What are your expectations heading into this one? We're going to get into it a little bit here today. We're also going to get into it, I'm sure, with Pat Callahan with This Week in Pro Football coming up at 10 o'clock. And also, we have to talk about something that happened. Adding insult to injury, let's just say. Remember, Nelson Agholor had a hit on Chris Conte, a crackback block, that kind of changed the way that the game went. That was a big play for the Eagles. It was one of their you know, burst plays offensively, and Agholor comes out of nowhere and delivers this hit to Chris Conte that ends up not only having him penalized and wiping out the play, it wiped out an 11-yard gain on first and 10, but Nelson Agholor also was fined by the NFL yesterday. $26,739. That's a lot of money for what I saw as, look, by the letter of the law, that's probably a crackback block. But that's not what I think of as a crackback block. I think of that as a block that happened to be high impact and everything else. When I think of a crackback block, I think of a guy who's returning a punt and somebody's pursuing him and not looking where the other guy's coming from. And the other guy, the blocker, comes back against the grain and levels the guy. Now, technically on a run play, that's exactly what happened here with Nelson Agholor. But I guess that's the way that the NFL is going to start calling things, and that's the way that the rules are going to start being enforced on these plays. Player safety continues to be the most important thing to the NFL, and we're all going to have to adjust from the players, from the way that we watch and say, oh, that's a terrible call or whatever. That's going to be something that we have to keep an eye on, alter, shift, and change, because that's the way that the league's going. And I don't think that there's any way that they go the opposite way. I don't think there's any putting the toothpaste back in the tube. By the way, I want to remind you, this weekend's programming is brought to you by Adam Mechanical. For all of your AC and plumbing emergencies, visit adammechanical.com. Eagles taking on the Indianapolis Colts this weekend. Lots of other games of interest to the Eagles in the NFL. And we'll get to those in just a little bit here. But I want to talk about the return of Carson Wentz, because obviously, even more than the defense hemorrhaging yards and hemorrhaging points against Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, there's no question that Carson Wentz's return is the most important thing to the Eagles season, to this game, to everything that you look at, when you call up the Philadelphia Eagles, it's all contingent on Carson Wentz's health and what he's going to be like. And I'm not talking about big picture. People so often love to go to this, where they are talking about, oh yeah, well, you got to keep him healthy for the next 10 years or the next 15 years. That's why I don't want to see him rush back. I don't want to see it. I'm not worried about that. You can't predict what's going to happen 18 months from now, let alone 10 years from now. So there's no way that I'm going to be comfortable with that line of thinking. But as Wentz returns, an element to it is the gratitude, and in some cases, some people feel that it's an unfair treatment of Nick Foles. It's an NBC Sports Philadelphia article yesterday talking about this, as Nick Foles, as much as he was able to pass the starting quarterback job back to Carson Wentz, and it looked easy, inside it was very difficult for him. This is a quote from Nick Foles, and this is what he said. "That's something that I'm aware of. And the big thing is just focusing on my life and the journey I've been on and the people who have been there and the ups and downs. And it's really just humbling to be at this point. Whenever those prideful things do seep in, because they do seep in with me, I'm not going to sit here and say that there's never a thought that comes to mind, but it does. I'm human. But I have to knock it down because I have to remember where I was, why I play the game, and what I have to focus on day to day. And that helps me in the moment like this, where a lot of people would say, why didn't you demand this? Or why didn't you demand this? Well, that's just not who I am, and that's who I don't want to be. Because at the end of the day, I want my kids to be proud of their daddy, so I focus on that with every decision I make." What he's talking about is the idea that people are coming up to him, and I don't know if it's people in his camp, I don't know if it's media, I don't know if it's reporters, I would doubt that it's anyone on the team, but who knows? It's tough to rule anything out at this point. The people who would walk up to Nick Foles and say, "Hey, I don't know if you've forgotten this or not, but in case you have, let me jog your memory so that we can get this all squared away. You're the Super Bowl MVP. You stepped in for Wentz, led the team to victory, beat the Falcons, beat the Vikings, beat the Patriots. Came in, you're 1-1 this season, beat the Falcons again." Nick Foles, like I said, was okay against Tampa. The word that I've been using more and more often with him against the Buccaneers was fine. I couldn't say that he's the reason that they lost to the Buccaneers. So if people are saying this to him, the natural step is, hey, how come you don't demand a trade to somewhere where you could be a starter? Or how come you don't demand to be the starter here based on everything that's happened? And so Nick Foles goes through that process. And like he says, he's human. But this is where, you know, he has to keep focused, and this is what he says, his words, not mine, on what he has to do now. Quote, "The big thing is, you don't want your mind to wander to all these different places. So sort of just staying on what's important. What's important is this team and supporting Carson. Going out to practice now, doing the scout team work, helping our defense in that way, focusing on that. Just day to day, it's just different. So getting used to that right now is probably the biggest task for me." Like him or don't like him, you have to say, this is a guy who's saying all the right things. This is a guy who, at least outwardly, and you know that internally he struggles with it, wondering whether the Tampa Bay game is going to be his last game in an Eagles uniform or whatever. You have no idea. But you have to say that outwardly, in the way that he's addressing the media, the way that he's addressing the fans, the way that he's carrying himself, there's a lot to be admired from how Nick Foles is taking care of his business. And I think that everybody in Nick Foles' position would feel the way that he would feel inside. Like, hey, you know, I've done a lot of good things here. You know, haven't I earned something? And yet to be able to come out and just say that you embrace your role, you support the team and everything like that. I know that he gets paid a lot of money and that that's his role on the team and that you expect him to be able to do that kind of stuff. But in practice, I think it's commendable for Nick Foles. In fact, that Tampa Bay game is what he said about it. "The city's meant a lot to me and my family. We'll never forget that. The support's been tremendous. That's something that's special about Philly, just being a part of this city, being a part of this team. That's how he responded. on how he'll look back if Tampa was his final game as a Philadelphia Eagle. Now on to Carson Wentz, because honestly, as much as we point to Nick Foles as a key to their success in the playoff run a season ago, and he absolutely 100% was the biggest reason offensively why they were able to win the Super Bowl, it's time to kind of turn the page back to where you were. And that is with your future presumptive MVP, Carson Wentz, working his way back from his injury. And you got to play a first game at some point. And this is it. The game against the Indianapolis Colts is the game that you're going to see Carson Wentz retake the reins as the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. And with Wentz's return, you're looking at a guy who, forget how ready and excited he is to go. We already knew that. We knew that he would be a guy who could not wait to get back out on the field. But Jeff McClain wrote a great article in the Philadelphia Inquirer kind of documenting the way that Wentz came back and what he was working for and everything else. And, you know, how obsessive he was with his rehab and the way that he was recovering and everything else. But you know what? He now, instead of trying to like hype it up, which I think the best way that you could possibly handle it is just come in and try to say, all right, it's business as usual. It's just another game, whatever, and allow yourself to go back and reflect on what it means to finally be back, you know, afterwards. This is what Wentz said when he was asked about, you know, fixing everything on offense. And he said that he thinks it's possible that they pick up where they left off 9.5 months ago before he got hurt. Said, I truly believe that's a realistic expectation. If that's the case, and I'm not expecting that, I'm expecting some degree of rust to be in. And Carson Wentz aside, no Alshon Jeffrey, no Torrey Smith. Zach Ertz has been up and down this season. Offensively, overall, they're not exactly where they were to start last year. And there's no guarantee that they get back there or that they are able to just flip a switch, be ready to go, just because of who's under center at quarterback or in the shotgun, as is more often the case in terms of the Philadelphia Eagles. But having said that, I think you will see an absolute uptick in terms of the way that Wentz is able to get things done versus Nick Foles. It's not a knock on Foles, but I do see the offense looking a lot healthier to start this season. Your phone number, if you want to join this conversation, by the way, 610-632-0975. Do you have concerns with Wentz's return this week? Are they medical? Are they team performance? Would you rather see the team stay loyal to Foles and have him continue to see through the season? Where do you come down on this? On the eve of Wentz's return to NFL play, as the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, where are you? 610-632-0975. We're also on the eve of the Fanatic pregame show. Join Trey Thomas, Devon Gibbons, and Eitan Shander this Sunday starting at 10 o'clock for the Fanatic pregame show live from Fishtown Hops at Sugar House Casino. The first 97 Fanatic listeners to arrive before kickoff win a Fanatic prize pack plus the chance to win tickets to the next home game. Stay for the official Fanatic watch party. Enjoy Dollar Dogs, $2 Miller Lite drafts, and $12 Miller Lite buckets. Presented by Sugar House Casino, Philly loves a winner. Supported by Visit Philly and Gerhard's Appliances. Because with Wentz coming back, by the way, I have some questions about whether the offense will change. The ground game, I anticipate, will be much better with more of a threat to throw from Carson Wentz. For whatever reason, it's well documented, I think, at this point, that right or wrong, fair or unfair, Nick Foles has been under-respected by other teams as a passer. I'm not saying that the only reason the Eagles won the Super Bowl is because they caught everybody by surprise. Don't twist my words. That's not what I'm saying. But with Foles, he's a guy who traditionally hasn't been given the same amount of respect as, say, a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers would by defenses. Carson Wentz is a guy who's more respected by those defenses. So there's a chance, even working Wentz back slowly and understanding the Eagles would love to have a good, strong ground game. There's a chance that they'll have fewer eight-man boxes going against the offense. So the ground game could be bolstered. What Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz established a season ago, that's something that needs to be recaptured, and I anticipate that happening in spades. The only thing that kind of throws a wrench into all of it, and I talked about it before the signing happened and after the signing happened, I still don't understand, is the Jordan Matthews signing. How he came in, and when he left the Eagles, right, he was arguably their most productive wide receiver. He was a second-round pick. He had the contract. He pretty much did everything in terms of being the safety and security blanket. It seemed like Matthews was going to be here for a very long time. I don't know if he was the man, but he was pretty close to that on the Eagles' offense. Nelson Agholor steps up. Matthews gets traded for Ronald Darby. And now all of a sudden, after stints in Buffalo and with New England, he's right back here in Philadelphia. And his role is completely different from when he left. Talking about how Nick Foles has to adjust things. Jordan Matthews goes from being the number one wide receiver target on the Philadelphia Eagles to a guy who is just kind of a placeholder. Alshon Jeffrey's hurt. Mike Wallace is hurt. So, all right, it's time to sign, you know, Jordan Matthews. What a difference. And he's only 26. It's remarkable to me what his career path has been. The only reason that I don't understand the signing is, like I said, if you have two outside wide receivers injured, I'd be hunting for those guys. Now you're moving Nelson Agholor conceivably outside for however many snaps Jordan Matthews will be in the game. And he kind of runs in the same areas that Agholor and Zach Ertz tend to set up shop. Now, maybe that's all offset by the fact that he's so comfortable with Carson Wentz and they were such good friends when he was here and everything else. I'm looking forward to seeing how this marriage works, because admittedly, when the interest was first announced and they were working out Jordan Matthews and that they were going to sign him and everything else, I have to say I didn't get it. I did not understand where the Eagles were going with this. They could change it, absolutely. Is there a scenario that works out? Maybe the best of all possible scenarios is that Nelson Agholor burns it up on the outside, and then when Alshon Jeffrey returns, you've got Agholor and Jeffrey on the outside, and Jordan Matthews is your slot receiver. Maybe that's the case. Maybe that's what they're going for. I don't know, and time will tell, but initially, when this first happened, I have to say it was a little bit of a head-scratcher. 610-632-0975. Let's go to the phones and Mike in Delran. What's happening, Mike? Good morning.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Hey, I don't understand why you're so skeptical of the signing. I don't know if skeptical is the right word of Jordan. But what's the alternative? Sheldon Gibson? I mean, what's he done in the first two games that shows that he's better than what Jordan Matthews could be? And it's time for Nelson Agholor to prove that he can be an outside receiver.
Well, so, Mike, I guess what my questions are is, like, is this signing so that you can beat Indianapolis this week, or is it something that you see as being a fix for the entire season? Because
it's to beat the Colts this week, that's what they need to win this game.
Well, if that's the case, then fine.
Was putrid. Like, and I mean, obviously Carson's an upgrade than Nick Foles, but again, he needs people around him. I mean, is Clement, is he definitely playing?
Yes,
that's 100%.
As far as I know, unless there's something miraculous that happens before kickoff, my information has said it's 100% that he's going.
I mean, we don't really, other than Agholor, we don't have, I mean, I guess you consider Clement a play, like a big-time play, but other than Agholor, we don't have one. And I know everybody wants to see Sheldon gets that big play against the Steelers in the preseason game, but that probably wasn't even against their one, and we see how bad the Steelers defense is.
Right, exactly.
Like, I'm sure Deshaun Jackson will do the same thing Monday night, or Mike Evans, somebody's going to get off on them because they're terrible.
Well, and the other thing, Mike, though, I have to say, is that I am looking for, like, I think it's very important that Zach Ertz gets going. I don't know how easy it'll be for Zach Ertz to get going if Jordan Matthews is there as well. Like, just running the same kind of stuff that Zach Ertz does over the middle and everything else. That's where my, if you want to call it skepticism, that's where it comes from.
But I can't be on all day with you, but Zach Ertz, I mean, he's reliable and he catches the ball, but can he ever make the first guy miss a tackle? Can he ever make the first guy miss?
Haven't seen it yet, Mike. Thanks for the phone call. It's been pretty rare that that happens, and I know that that's been the knock on him. I know that that's been, you know, people say, oh, yeah, well, Zach Ertz, the thing that's keeping him from being a really, really good player is the fact that he hasn't been able to, you know, make the guy miss or whatever. It annoys me, too, as a football fan watching you. Like, you're so big and so strong, you're so fast. How could this not happen? But that's kind of... It is what it is. Unless he's going to add that wrinkle, add that new trick to his bag, you know, at this point in his career, it's something that you almost have to be used to. 610-632-0975. I'm curious to see about Dallas Goedert as well. By the way, it's not that I don't like Jordan Matthews as a wide receiver. It's that you have two outside wide receivers that go down. When it comes to Nelson Agholor, Mike made a point that people have brought up to me, that it's time for Nelson Agholor to show that he can be an outside wide receiver. And I said, why? Why is that important? Like, did Victor Cruz ever show that he could be an outside wide receiver? And he ended up being very productive for the Giants for a long time. Julian Edelman is outside in spots, but he's more comfortable in the slot. Like, there are a lot of very effective slot receivers that haven't had to show that they can play outside. By the way, for the record, with Nelson Agholor, you drafted him to be an outside wide receiver, and there were people ready to call him a draft bust, that he couldn't play, that he couldn't get anything done, that Agholor is a guy who's never going to be able to play in this league at all. And we never even considered the possibility of him playing the slot because of Jordan Matthews. But you move Agholor into the slot, and all of a sudden he turns into a playmaker for you. As far as I'm concerned, I would rather not take away where a guy's comfortable and say, all right, well, we know that you're productive for us in the slot, but now we're going to have you move to the outside where, by the way, all of these questions about your performance came up and cropped up in the first place. So it's hard for me to really paint that as like the ideal scenario for the Eagles. And I know you're going to say, that, oh, the ideal scenario is that nobody gets injured and everything else. You're absolutely right. But I think long term, if you need an outside receiver, there are guys that you can kick the tires on. Corey Coleman's on the Patriots practice squad. Jeremy Maclin is reportedly generating interest from the Eagles for next week. Look, I get that you've got to keep your head above water and you've got to win a game this week. I understand that. But I think looking long term strategically rather than just tactically for this week, it makes less sense to bring in Jordan Matthews. It makes less sense for me to see that happen. Now, if he catches two touchdowns against the Colts tomorrow, I'm going to be just as excited as everybody else. It's not going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, man, I wish that I was right. It's not really about that. It's more that I don't understand where it came from. However, from an emotional standpoint and from a human standpoint, I do think it makes more sense because you've got a guy in Carson Wentz who's coming off of injury naturally. No matter what he says, there's going to be a little bit of tension, a little bit of uneasiness, and at least until he works his way through that, you know, first quarter or so. You want to make it as comfortable as you can for him. So if you have Zach Ertz out there and Nelson Agholor and Jordan Matthews, at least those are all familiar faces to Wentz. But Matthews didn't have anything to do with the big season last year that the Eagles had in the Super Bowl, outside of being traded for a key player in Ronald Darby. So when I look at it, I think that's the angle that I take, is that while I understand from a comfort zone security blanket standpoint, the signing makes sense, if you're trying to win another Super Bowl, I don't know that you move Nelson Agholor out of the slot and limit what Zach Ertz is able to do working over the middle. Like, I don't know. Doug Peterson's an incredibly creative play caller, an incredibly creative personnel deployer. So there's a possibility that he has a completely different plan from what we're all expecting for Jordan Matthews, Nelson Agholor, and the Eagles offense. We're kind of in wait and see mode. But as far as I'm concerned, I am cautiously, incredibly cautiously optimistic at best. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to weigh in on the conversation this morning. Taking you up until 10 o'clock solo. And then at 10, I'll be joined by Pat Callahan for This Week in Pro Football. And you know, we might take a look around the college slate as well, because there are some big-time college football games coming up today. We'll take a look at some of that. We'll continue to break down the Eagles and the Colts, look at who's healthy and who's not, all of that and more. It's the Joe Torty Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Harry Mays here to talk about the fastest-growing Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram dealer in the tri-state area. My friends at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Come see why so many South Jersey and Philly buyers are coming to Turnersville for great deals on new Jeeps, Ram pickups, Dodges, and Chryslers at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Now, I was down there, and I'll tell you, wait till you see their huge selection of new Wranglers, Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, and Ram pickup trucks at TurnersvilleJeep.com. They have over 600 cars and trucks on site to choose from. Go down there and ask for my main man, Ron Fina, at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Ron has spent over a decade building a reputation for exceptional customer service and giving customers the very best deal. Ron's a good dude. This is Harry Mays for TurnersvilleJeep.com, located on Route 42 in Turnersville. Check them out at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Oh, did I say TurnersvilleJeep.com?
It's not just any Wi-Fi. It's streaming in every room in your house, even in the backyard Wi-Fi.
Mom, we're going to watch movies in the treehouse.
That's fine, honey.
It's Wi-Fi that lets your family stream live TV and the most free movies and shows on any device they want.
Dad, can I watch cartoons on the tablet?
How about we use it to finish your homework instead?
Oh, man.
And it's Wi-Fi that can help you save on wireless when you include Xfinity Mobile with your internet.
Can we have some of that savings?
Nope, but your college fund can.
It's the best Wi-Fi experience from Xfinity that makes streaming and saving simple, easy, awesome.
Get started with Xfinity Internet, TV, and voice for $79.99 a month for 2 full years with a 2-year agreement. Plus, ask how you can save when you include Xfinity Mobile with your internet. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Offer ends 10/28/18. Restrictions apply. Limited to the standard triple play for new customers. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rates apply.
Hey, this is Anthony Gargano. You know, getting tickets online can be far too complicated. Hundreds of sites of varying levels of reliability. It's hard to know who to trust. That's why you need to use the SeatGeek app. Only way to go. SeatGeek, designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. Every purchase fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with 100% confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to ticket source for everything from sports to concerts, and of course, the place to get your Birds tickets this year. I got the SeatGeek app on my phone. Outrageous. By far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. Now, I've used SeatGeek in the past. I'm going to use it for the upcoming football season, college, you got it, pros. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app. Enter promo code Anthony. That's promo code Anthony. $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, lights and event. We got the tickets.
Well, I talk about my lawn a lot because it's important that it looks good year-round. The summer takes a toll on a lawn. The baking sun makes the grass dormant so it doesn't grow as green and fast. And the ridiculous rain we had this season makes everything grow, especially the weeds. That's why I use my guys in Natural Lawn. Fall's the perfect time to establish and thicken your lawn. Aeration removes small plugs of soil to help your lawn breathe. Now, you'll notice the grass grow thicker and greener and ultimately overtake the weeds by simply having more grass than weeds. Regardless of where you live and how your lawn currently looks, Natural Lawn's limited time offer will restore your lawn's health and beauty. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program and they will seed your lawn free of charge. The number is 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREESEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
If you're injured in an accident, you need an attorney you can trust. With 54 five-star reviews, you can count on Rosenbaum & Associates. Jeff Rosenbaum has been serving our community for over 2 decades, providing the support and personal attention you deserve. Need a doctor or transportation? Rosenbaum can help. With a long track record of success, Rosenbaum & Associates guarantees if you don't get paid, they don't get paid. If you're injured, remember Rosenbaum.
Are you riled up? When you get riled up, you need to vent. You need to get comfortable. The summer season is coming to an end. Time to get ready for winter. Make sure your comfort system is ready for the next season. Proper ventilation with Southwark Ductwork is available at Riley Sales. Riley is the place HVAC pros go to get the Southwark that makes your system tight. Southwark and Riley have been supplying the HVAC trade for generations. Go to RileySales.com. R-I-L-E-Y sales.com. We'll recommend a pro that will get the job done right.
This is Mike Missanelli. Tune in here. Brian Westbrook and I break down the birds every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. presented by my guys at Landis Block. Create your dream backyard online at LandisBC.com.
Sports talk for Mount Holly and all of Burlington County. 97.5. The Fanatic.
By the way, as the Joe Torti Show returns for the final half hour that I go solo until I team up with Pat Callahan for this week in pro football. Do you guys see the Browns win on Thursday night? It's pretty cool. For the two-point conversion, they went Philly. Except it was almost the Philly special. It was a Cleveland special. I saw some other less flattering names for it. Cool stuff, though. Duke Johnson flips it to Jarvis Landry, throws it to Baker Mayfield in the end zone to finish off the two-point conversion. Pretty cool. I got to say this, though. I've watched college football practices. I have watched college football games. Teams all over the country are incorporating this kind of stuff. I don't know if it's the quarterbacks going to the offensive coordinators and just saying, hey, I want my chance. I don't know if it's... I have no idea what the reason is. But the Eagles and Patriots, because the Patriots ran something similar in the Super Bowl as well, even though Tom Brady didn't catch it and it didn't work. They're trendsetters. They set the world on fire. All these quarterbacks are trying to catch passes now. It's the way that it goes. I thought it was pretty remarkable. And by the way, I put out an APB for all of the Eagles fans who happen to be in Cleveland, who happen to be living there. Just want to let you know. Hope that you're okay. I know that it's been a little crazy there in terms of the Bud Light fridge opening, the beer fridge. Everybody gets it and everything else. Just be careful. I know that there's still a party going on for a lot of people. By the way, also want to remind you, if you missed any of our shows this week, go to 97.5thefanatic.com or the Fanatic app for full show podcasts. You can listen anytime, anywhere on your schedule. Eagles come back against the Indianapolis Colts. And this is a Colts team, by the way, that has effectively a lot of similarities to the Philadelphia Eagles. Not just in terms of the head coaches, Frank Reich and Doug Peterson. Quarterbacks working their way back from injury. Now, this is Carson Wentz's first game. Andrew Luck has been playing, but he's still kind of shaking off the rust and getting into things to try to like build back up to that level where he was. What was it, in 2015 when I think he took the Colts to the AFC Championship game? It's going to be a lot of back and forth. However, what I'll say, I have never been more sure of anything than to say that the Eagles defense is going to have a monstrous bounce back game against the Indianapolis Colts, because this is a team that gave up the first play of the game, DeSean Jackson, bomb. Gave up a 75-yard touchdown to a tight end that wasn't like a big pitch and catch like way down the field. It was a catch and run for 75 yards. This is a proud defense. Fletcher Cox, Malcolm Jenkins, Jordan Hicks, everybody else. This is a group that will not tolerate something like that happening again. I can't see it. If you have predictions for the game, by the way, you can get on the record now, 610-632-0975. I have to say, over the course of the first 2 weeks of the season, some of the caller predictions have been absolute fully dead on. Not all of them, but some of them have been so right on the money that it is remarkable. So I like to welcome those kind of things when I can here. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. Also, we haven't talked about this, or I haven't talked about this. I know that we've been focused on football a whole lot here, and with good reason. We haven't talked about Elton Brand being named the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. I have to admit, this is a move that took me by surprise. Not just the fact that they signed Elton Brand in general, but the fact that they got a GM at all. I kind of thought that they would go without one for a little while longer. But on Thursday, the Sixers introduced Elton Brand as their new general manager. And it was the end of a really long process to find a new senior basketball executive. Josh Harris said all the right things. You know, he represents everything we aspire to be as an organization. It's a players' league, and Elton's universally respected. He has a remarkable understanding of the game, knows how players feel and react, knows what's important to them. He's a perfect general manager for today's NBA, where relationships throughout the NBA ecosystem, creating a desirable free agent destination and creating a team-centric culture, those things are paramount. So that's pretty cool that they identified a guy, and not only that, promoted from within because he was busy with the Delaware Bluecoats. That's a big promotion. Now, similarly to what we've heard in the past, you know, the question always becomes, who has the final say? Who gets to make the last call in terms of player decisions and things like that? And as we've heard in the past, the Eagles have done it. The Sixers have set up a collaborative effort, which I never understand what that means. Elton Brand himself said that kind of he and Brett Brown have more or less partners, like a partnership in making these decisions. This is what Josh Harris said about the scenario. Elton and Brett are partners, like in many, many great organizations in basketball. Both of them report to me and to ownership. We expect they'll be collaborating a lot. Ultimately, Brett is the on-the-court voice, and Elton is the off-the-court voice. Elton will have, you know, kind of the loudest voice off the court and balance decision-making authority subject to ownership. Final say, coach is going to have a voice in it. We are going to discuss it. I'm going to make my final recommendation to ownership just like any other team does.
We use the analytics, we use all that to kind of predict the future. What I'm looking for is to change the future. The Sixers, we're going to be a cap team. We're going to have minimum vet deals. That's it. That's what we're going to have available. So I need to outline and identify those players that will help join this team and help just help that locker room and be productive on the court also.
And that was Elton Brand with Mike Missanelli talking about how he's going to be able to reshape the roster. He also mentioned Markelle Fultz, who's going to be, you mentioned that Elton Brand is not going to be able to sign big-time free agent contracts. You're looking at veteran minimum contracts, things like that. The biggest pickup that the Sixers might be able to make is a healthy Markelle Fultz, and Elton Brand had something to say about that.
Yeah, I've been very encouraged about what I've seen this summer. I just can't wait to see him in game-like, practice-like. You know, we're going to China, but he could be possibly that third star that we highly covet. We need. Dario might turn into that because we know we need a third star. If not, we're going to be looking during the season, and then we're going to go back into free agency. But his talent level with the way he handles the ball, the way he passes the ball, his athleticism, his size, I definitely see why he was the number one pick, and he's been working his butt off.
Have you seen the images and the videos and stuff of his new shot? It looks kind of similar to his old shot, actually. I'll say this. As a non-NBA player, it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look great. You'd never confuse it with J.J. Redick or, you know, Reggie Miller or Rip Hamilton or, you know, some of these guys who have incredible shooting form. But in terms of being able to do what you need him to do, this is my scenario for Markelle Fultz. If he can hit three catch-and-shoot threes in a game, or per game, that would be huge. Huge. if he can just knock down open non-three-point shots when Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid or whoever are passing out of double teams, driving dish, that sort of thing, that's exactly what the doctor ordered. So if he's able to knock down open shots, I never need him to be a James Harden step-back specialist or anything like that. You know, Steph Curry, you know, getting it off rapid fire without anybody being able to block it. I don't need any of that. If you're able to knock down an open shot, that's all that that I need. Because we've seen with Ben Simmons and with Joel Embiid and Dario Saric as well, because he's a good distributor of the basketball, that there's not a whole lot of requirements for somebody else to be on the floor, right? What we've seen when the Sixers' offense has failed, we've seen those wide-open opportunities come up, and people haven't been able to knock them down or haven't been willing to shoot them in some cases. When it comes down to it, that's what I'm looking for Markelle Fultz. If he can take some pressure off of Ben Simmons as a primary ball handler, that'd be good too. However, I do see Simmons as being the point guard on the team. Markelle Fultz is going to fit in a role. You're going to have J.J. Redick out there as well. It's going to be a different look Sixers team if Fultz is able to help out. And Elton Brand is doing everything that he can now as the new GM to kind of shape the roster and change the way that they have, I don't know if you could really call it underachieving, but they haven't achieved in the playoffs. And I think that's going to be something that becomes the next focus. Because, I mean, let's face it, Boston, just by adding their two best players back healthy from injury, they got better this offseason. With Zaire Smith, who knows what you're going to get from him in year one, Markelle Fultz is going to be the key, the centerpiece to the entire, you know, did the Sixers improve or not conversation. So it's very important, obviously, that he continues to develop and that the team continues to provide him with the support that they need. So I didn't mean to get off on too much of a basketball tangent, but, you know, when a team hires a new GM, you can't ignore it. And especially a guy like Elton Brand, who we have such clear familiarity with, not just in terms of his NBA career, but he's been a guy who chose to, you know, lay down roots here and start to build his executive career here in the Philadelphia area and starting with the Delaware Bluecoats. So congratulations to Elton Brand. And I would think that, you know, the partnership element to it, it'll all work until he and Brett Brown come to heads on a prospect or a player or something else. 610-632-0975. We'll see. It is the Joe Torti Show. Final segment is coming your way next, and then it's This Week in Pro Football with Pat Callahan right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Home of the Philly sports fan. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, this is Jim Lampley. Every sport has a champion. Every champion has a journey. Every journey has a story. Check out what's coming up on HBO.
On Saturday, September 22nd, tune into HBO for an exclusive replay of this past weekend's epic middleweight title rematch between boxing stars Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Triple G Golovkin. Relive all the action Saturday, September 22nd at 10.05 p.m. Then, Real Sports with Brian Gumbel returns with a profile of Dale Earnhardt Jr., once NASCAR's most popular driver. After retiring from racing, he's now delivering his engaging personality and popularity to the broadcast booth. Tuesday, September 25th at 10 p.m. Plus, HBO Sports presents Student Athlete, a documentary film from executive producer LeBron James and producers Maverick Carter and Steve Stout, illuminating the hardships endured by unpaid college athletes, despite generating billions for their institutions. Tuesday, October 2nd at 10 p.m., only on HBO.
For all the stories, there's only one arena, HBO Sports.
Introducing the amazing iPhone XS you'll love on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless. It's the perfect way to stay connected to those you heart most, like your BFF.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Just got my iPhone XS.
Look at you. Welcome to the big screens.
So, you got my selfie?
Yeah, like the second you sent it.
Selfie portrait mode.
I totally, like, long tap liked it.
Oh, cool. So, my hair looked...
like straight fire.
What?
What? What about my Memoji? Doesn't it look like...
like you're wearing the same glasses as mine?
Oopsie. Sorry.
Fall in love with iPhone XS on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless, and share whatever you want, whenever you want, with those you heart most. And right now, you'll love our best offers ever on iPhone XS.
What?
Visit a T-Mobile store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE today.
This is Jason Mertitus for Conkerville Subaru. At Conkerville Subaru, they know that each customer that comes through the door has their own story, and respecting that goes a long way. At Conkerville Subaru, they take the time to listen and help every customer find the exact right vehicle for their lives. Going on now at Conkerville Subaru, pick your ride and pick your payment. For example, lease a 2018 Subaru Impreza 2.0i for as low as $96 per month for 36 months, $3,000 due at lease signing, or buy with 0% interest. Plus, every customer gets a lifetime powertrain warranty. Hurry in before September 30th for the Conkerville Subaru Pick Your Ride and Pick Your Payment. Coming in just a few months is the brand new state-of-the-art Subaru showroom. If you love the Subaru brand, you will love this new showroom. It's beautiful. Conkerville Subaru. Visit 202subaru.com for inventory. That's 202subaru.com. Conkerville cares. Call 888-351-6493 for lease details.
I'm Brian from 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Two guys? You came with just two guys?
All you have to do is point.
It took six men to get that in here. What? But
all you have to do is point, sir.
What's going on in here? Hey, where's the...
I just pointed at it, and it...
We make junk disappear anytime,
anywhere. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOTJUNK.com.
This game day weather report is brought to you by AmericanStandardAir.com.
The Birds are back home this coming Sunday to take on Indy. Carson Wentz is back under center. The weather at game time should be a seasonal 69 degrees with a 40% chance of a shower towards halftime.
It's too hot. What's the temperature set at?
Seems fine to me.
Relationships can be tricky. Now it's too cold.
I adjusted the thermostat.
But there's one thing everyone can agree on. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning. I like them.
Me too.
Because couples know their local Bryant dealer will do whatever it takes to make sure everyone is comfortable, including great financing offers up to 72 months subject to credit approval. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, visit nopaybryant.com. Bryant.
Whatever it takes.
Hi, this is Pierre Robert. You're not used to hearing me here, but I have an important message about suicide prevention. Sadly, each year we lose far too many to suicide. It's now the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. There is something we can do about it, though. Join me on Sunday, October 7th at the Philadelphia Museum of Art for the Walk to Raise Awareness for Suicide Prevention. Be a part of the movement turning hope into action and create a culture that's smart about mental health. Funds raised at the walk will benefit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Learn more at afsp.org/Philly Walk.
Meineke, America's choice for auto repair, right now receive 50% off brake pads and shoes. Stop in for $19.95 basic oil change. Go to Meineke.com to find your locally owned and operated Meineke.
Fear of missing out? Download our app and don't miss a minute. 97.5, The Fanatic.
Final segment right here, Joe Torti in the morning, taking you up until 10 o'clock. Then I'll stick around for two more hours, but I'll be joined by the better half of the show, Pat Callahan, for this week in pro football. Want to remind you tomorrow that you can join Trey Thomas, Devon Gibbons, and Eitan Chander this Sunday, starting at 10 o'clock for the Fanatic pregame show, live from Fishtown Hops at Sugar House Casino. The first 97 Fanatic listeners to arrive before kickoff win a Fanatic prize pack plus a chance to win tickets to the next home game. Stay for the official Fanatic watch party. Enjoy $1 dogs, $2 Miller Lite drafts, and $12 Miller Lite buckets. Presented by Sugar House Casino, Philly loves a winner. Supported by Visit Philly and Gerhard's Appliances. Also, to continue letting you know about things that you don't want to miss, like any of our shows. But if you missed any of our shows this week, go to 97.5thefanatic.com or the Fanatic app. You can get full show podcasts. Listen anytime, anywhere on your schedule. The phone number to join the conversation, 610-632-0975. Your phone number if you want to hop aboard. You can also weigh in on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5thefanatic. One other note from the college football world here that I found particularly interesting, as long as player safety continues to be on the forefront of everyone's minds. I wonder if we're seeing the end of the quote-unquote old-school football coach that, like, tough it out and deal with it and force through and, you know, mental strength and perseverance and everything else, right? Members, this is according to ESPN, members of the University of Maryland athletic training staff failed to quickly diagnose and properly treat the heat stroke symptoms of 19-year-old offensive lineman Jordan McNair on May 29th, according to a report released Friday. The long and short of this thing is that this report finds that Maryland is culpable, at least in some degree, with what happened to McNair. And there are stories about, you know, these offensive linemen having to run these 100-yard sprints and everything else. I know that a lot of people who played high school football, a lot of people who played college football had to do the same kind of stuff. So the kind of state of mind at this point for a lot of people is, hey, you can either handle it or you can't handle it. You know, you got to just tough your way through and you know, just deal with it. However, McNair was admitted to a local hospital with a temperature of 106 degrees. I mean, that is not necessarily in the tough it out, rub some dirt on it, you know, category. Unfortunately, the way that it goes is that the way that an NFL team and the way that a big time college team and an effective high school team goes, coaches will say that everybody has to work and earn everything. They have to work for it. They can't be given anything. And not only that, there's no preferential treatment and that everybody's treated the same. You get that? Obviously, it's a meritocracy. You get that you have to go through some things and push through what you would call your normal comfort zone to get to a certain level of play. However, in this particular case, I think that you're going to find not necessarily that these coaches are going to coddle these players or that, you know, people are just going to be like, oh, you don't want to run wind sprints, you don't have to. But I think that you're going to see an increase in awareness of these kinds of situations and the way that if you're having a corner run 100-yard sprints, it might be different than having a guard run 100-yard sprints over and over again. I think that there might be a little bit more common sense when it comes down to it and the way that you would approach not just constructing a team but also managing that team. Your heart obviously breaks for McNair's family and everything else. No doubt about it that you know you can't possibly glaze over the fact that it's, you know, someone's family and someone's, you know, son, everything else. And in order to prevent something like that from happening again, I think that that's the path that you're going to start to see colleges and high schools and even the NFL in some levels as they continue to focus on player safety and they continue to look at how they can maximize the protection for the players while still having a competitive product. I think that that's going to be a large percentage of it. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. We didn't get into this at all yet, but you know that obviously Odds Shark is one of those you know, the betting sites that also generates the potential matchups. They run the computer simulations and everything like that. So here you go. We're looking at the Indianapolis Colts and the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, that's the game that's coming up. Colts are 1-1 against the spread. So are the Eagles coming into this. The predicted score, according to Oddshark, is that Philadelphia is going to win 24.4 to 17.8. Then, you know, that's not a real score, but whatever. The spread, they have it at 7. So that means that they believe that Philadelphia will win, Indianapolis will cover, and the total will go under. Now, for the record, this Odds Shark thing predicted last week that Tampa Bay would ultimately win the game. They predicted that Tampa Bay getting the 3 had a chance to win outright. And you know, I gotta say, there were some on this station, maybe some whose voices you're hearing right now, dismissed it as an impossibility. Well, at the very least, it looks like this is going to be a close game if the computer models are to be believed. You have areas of concern. What are you looking at for the game? And obviously, with Carson Wentz coming back, do you expect rust? Do you expect him to be right back at 100% right away? Where do you come down on this? Let's go to Jim and Ben Salem. What's happening, Jim?
Hey, what's going on?
Not too much.
Yeah, I guess before that, we were talking about with that guy, McNair, that passed out and everything like that. I was thinking, you ever see like Orange Theory Fitness and all that, where they have they monitor everybody.
Yep.
So if you have your players and you just have maybe some guy on a computer on the sideline just monitoring all the, you know, their heart conditions, everything like that, there you go. You know, so if it gets to an extreme level, pull them out.
And it makes you wonder how those kind of things aren't already like in place with all of the analytics and stuff that college football, especially big time college football, Maryland's in the Big Ten. How they don't already have that set up. It's kind of shocking.
Yeah. It would take away a lot of these, you know, passing out, everything like that. You see the kid hit red, pull him out. You know, let him sit down, something like that.
It's a great idea.
So
Jim.
That's on that end.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then on the other side, I guess with Wentz, definitely, I think he's going to be a little rusty in the beginning, but I think he's going to tear it up at the end.
You have him winning the game?
I haven't won the game.
Definitely. All right, Jim. You're on the record. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, that you always saw that with Chip Kelly, right? Like beyond just the protein shakes and stuff like that and the sleep monitoring and everything else. You also saw a whole lot of just checking on players' vitals. And I think there was a DeMarco Murray game where he was held out because his levels weren't right or something like that. So, I mean, it's possible to monitor all of this stuff. I don't know if it becomes mandatory for all of these college football teams. I would say that it should. Hey, Joe, where's the money come from? I don't know. Maybe the college football coaches shouldn't be the highest paid public employees in the entire state. And if they are, maybe there can be a little chunk of that that gets siphoned off to, you know, safety of the players and everything like that. Nothing against anybody's ability to make a living. But just saying that could be a possibility if you wanted to set that up. Where does it come from? Thank you to everybody who called and tweeted in today, my co-hosts for the 9 o'clock hour at least. Thank you very much to the D-Train, doing a great job producing as he always does.
Who?
That's right. Dylan, you know, you get credit around here, but the D-Train, that's your moniker. You're going to be the D-Train forever. Unless you tell us actively to stop. And then half of us will stop and half of us won't. But Dylan did a great job as well. I will be back on the air in just about 5 minutes for This Week in Pro Football. And then tomorrow for the Eagles post-game show, where hopefully we'll be chopping up a victory over the Indianapolis Colts. This is Joe Torti. Stick around and stay tuned, because coming up next, it is This Week in Pro Football with Pat Callahan right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This is 97.5 The Fanatic.